Good to see you guys. My name's Jeremy. I used to work here, and then I left for 3 weeks. It's good to be back with you. The Lord was kind to us on our travels, and I would just to echo Tali on that. One of the things we did a couple of years ago in a South Asian country was to. COVID was particularly hard on them. I told you about this, and you fed about almost 300 people for a few months through the Every Cent Sent Money, and we were in their church when I was over there. And amen. One of the pastors said, he said, "Pastor, you guys kept us alive," and so. It was a joy to be there, and this church of Lomi people, who 40 years ago there wasn't a single Christian. Now there's over 120 Christians from this people group. They're actually going into other villages in the mountains and sharing the gospel, and so man, it's a joy to see their faith, and it's a joy to be with them. So thank you for the opportunity I had to go and do that. And it's good to be back with you. I got something going on. I don't know what it is, but I'll try not to spit on anybody. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be all over the place. We'll start in Isaiah 9 if you want to turn there. And if you want to grab this little card here, we'll walk through these things together. We're in a season of the church called Advent. The word Advent means a coming or arrival, okay? And if you didn't grow up in church, or maybe you grew up in a church tradition that didn't celebrate Advent, that's okay. It's a time for us to stop and remember. This Christmas season is a time where we are remembering that God has made promises, and in Christ Jesus, God has kept his promises, okay? That's really what the season of Advent is about. It's where we stop and we remind ourselves of God's faithfulness to make promises and to keep those promises. And so we'll look at some Old Testament passages and some New Testament passages, and we'll start out in Matthew as well. All this will be part of this season of Advent. The second Sunday, as Josh mentioned earlier, the second Sunday of Advent traditionally is a Sunday that we celebrate peace. And I think the word peace is something we all can relate to, right? All of us are looking for peace in our world, in our relationships, in our house, with our kids running around and crying and all those things. All of us just want some peace, right? If I could just have some peace, that my life would be better. But the thing that we see in Advent, and we remind ourselves from God's word, is that peace is not found in a perfect set of circumstances, right? Even though we think it is. I mean, if this person would just do what I wanted them to do my way, then we would have peace. And if this person would just shut up, we would have peace. That's kind of the way we think. But we remind ourselves from the Bible that peace is not found in a perfect set of circumstances. Peace is found. Real soul-satisfying peace is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So we want to read some Old Testament passages, some New Testament passages, and let the Word of God guide us as we think about peace. Isaiah 9. You've read these verses before. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Isaiah 26, he says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Verse 12 says, "O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works." Micah 5, turn quick, or just mark it, you can get back there, okay? Micah, it's in the Bible, yeah, it's a minor prophet. It's minor, they're called major and minor prophets because of their size, not because of their importance, okay? Y'all know that, right? They're all really important. Micah 5 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah," it's a fun word to say, "you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel," talking about Jesus, "who is coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she is, who is in labor, has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. See this prophecy here. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And, verse 5 is great, he shall be their peace. And we see this theme in the prophets talking about Jesus coming. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of Jesus' government and Jesus' peace, there's not going to be an end to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness, he says, from this time forth and forevermore. And God's going to accomplish this. Right? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. He says in Isaiah 26 that he will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. And in here in Micah 5, he says that he himself will be our peace. Promises made, promises perfectly kept. Go to Luke chapter 1, okay? Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. It's the story of Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Okay, we skip over this, but we shouldn't. Mary was greatly troubled, okay? Can you imagine how greatly troubled she was? She's a young woman, and she's engaged to be married, and an angel comes and talks to her, right? I'm sure she was greatly troubled. She ain't even half troubled till she hears what he's about to say. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. And behold, you're going to conceive a baby, right? You conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Does this sound like Isaiah? "And of his kingdom, there will be no end." And Mary says to the angel, "Are you sure?" Right? "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." And this is how it's all going to happen. "For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country. I bet she went with haste, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, she's getting out of town. Into the hill country, into the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The first one that calls Jesus Lord is Elizabeth here. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And then we have Mary's song, the Magnificat. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And why are they going to call her blessed? Verse 49. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. A few things I want you to get about Mary here, okay? And get to peace. Mary's trust in God's love and God's word leads her from being greatly troubled, which she should have been, to a great peace, right, that is expressed in humble worship. Mary's greatly troubled. And I think this is a thing in following Jesus, I think, that we need to be honest about, that sometimes people that are going through a difficult time or life is kind of punches you in the throat, that sometimes in Christian circles, we want to put a glaze on that and act like things aren't bad, right? Like we're like, it's fine. It might not be fine. Like you might have things going on in your life that have caused you to be greatly troubled, and that's okay. It's okay that we're greatly troubled at times. God can handle our being perplexed, right? Mary's greatly troubled. We don't want to gloss over that. I mean, she's probably a teenage girl that an angel came and talked to and told her she was going to have a baby, but she hadn't, you know, yet. That is troubling. That's very troubling, okay? And she flees the city, goes into the country to be the relative. She is greatly troubled. And yet, it goes from being greatly troubled to having peace, right? And really, the Lord uses Elizabeth to help her with that. She goes from this being troubled to, she goes and sees Elizabeth, and Elizabeth encourages her. Elizabeth helps her. Elizabeth tells her, how could it be that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? She goes from being greatly troubled to having peace, and she expresses this peace through humble worship, right? She goes on and says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because God has looked upon my humble estate. And from now on, all the generations are going to call me blessed because he who is mighty has done great things and holy is his name. Mary's trust in God leads her from being greatly troubled to great peace that's expressed in humble worship. The other thing I would tell you about Mary here, just a reminder, Mary is the recipient of the blessing, not the giver of the blessing, right? The point of Mary's song is to celebrate not herself, but God's mercy. And Mary is a wonderful picture of God's mercy to us. Mary is, for all understanding of Mary, she's not known. She's just a young lady, and God is merciful to her and uses her greatly, right? She's not the giver of blessing. She's the recipient of blessing. And that song points us to God's mercy shown to her. Continue on. Luke 2, God keeps this promise that he makes, both in the Old Testament and to Mary here. Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, registered in government. This is the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his hometown. But Joseph also went up from Galilee to a town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because of Micah 5, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered there with Mary, his betrothed, who was pregnant. And when they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Think the nativity scene, right? Promises made in the Old Testament, promises made to Mary, promises kept in Luke chapter 2. God is sending his son to save the world, right? We all know that. Great Christmas story. Good. Drink your eggnog. It's good, right? Great story. But the thing that we got to remember, that we got to protect in our own hearts, is this isn't just a story. This is truth on which all of our lives hang. Like, if this isn't true, we are still in our sins and hopeless without God in the world, is what the Bible says. This is a beautiful story, and it's true. And because it's true, it has implications for us, right? It has implications for us. Ephesians chapter 2, the implications of what Christ has done for us. Look at verse 11 and 19. He says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, me, who once were far away or far off, have been brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. He's quoting there, right? Micah 5, and he shall be their peace. Paul says, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. How did he break it down? He abolished the law of commandments expressed in ordinances that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, man, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but now are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's so good. Galatians 4, Paul tells the church in Galatia, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here's the thing I would want you to get, and this is a takeaway that I hope we can land on together, okay? Is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he doesn't just bring peace, but he himself is our peace. There is no peace outside of Christ, because Jesus is our peace. And so, watch your Hallmark movies, okay? Jenny's gonna watch all of them, right? All of them. It's great. They're the same movie. Over and over and over again, right? There's a guy that moved back to town. He's got a tree farm. He lives in a $500,000 house, but he sells Christmas trees, okay? To move there. It's great. It's fine. Okay? Go to the stores. Peace on earth. Blah, blah, blah. It's all good. Just know that that's not what Jesus is talking about, right? Like, the kind of peace that Jesus brings is not found in a Hallmark movie. Jesus doesn't just give peace. Jesus gives peace because he is our peace. Right? Like, you see what he's saying here. He himself is our peace. The Prince of Peace doesn't just give peace, not just handing out peace, even though he does give peace. He gives peace because he is our peace. There is no peace, real soul-satisfying peace outside of Jesus. Looking for peace in your marriage, looking for peace with your kids, looking for peace in your relationships, looking for peace in this world, it doesn't exist outside of Jesus Christ, because he himself is our peace. Be careful this Christmas, right? Be careful that we don't buy into some kind of a version of Jesus that the Bible doesn't speak of. some kind of version of peace that the Bible doesn't proclaim. This is the kind of peace that the Bible speaks of, the kind of peace that says Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he gives peace because he is our peace. There's no peace outside of Jesus. And we just remember and remind each other that at the right time, God sent his son Jesus to redeem or to buy back people from their sins so that you and I are no longer slaves, but we're sons. This is what Jesus has done for us. Like, what has this done? What does this matter? Well, here's why it matters. Because Jesus, who is our peace, has redeemed us from our sins. He's bought us back from our sins. And now that we are his, we're not slaves anymore. We're not going to be angels one day, okay? We're the sons of God, seated at the table with the king. Zephaniah 3 says this, "The Lord your God is with you." Man, this would be good. Hopefully this is encouraging for you that maybe this is your first Christmas with or without blank, right? And maybe this is a difficult time of year for you. Here's my prayer is that you would let the word of God comfort you. Listen to this prophecy. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and will rejoice over you with singing. And the four things he says there that I just love to be reminded of. Number one, that God is with you. He's with you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's with you. Not only is he with you, he takes great delight in you. That God's not mad at you. He hasn't forgotten about you, and he's not mad at you. He delights in you. He enjoys you. That God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, sustainer of all things, ruler, right? When he looks at you, he's with you and he loves you. He enjoys you. He quiets us with his love. He quiets you with his love. I always think about a baby, okay? I always think like about an infant. When we had babies, we have babies still, but they're 15 and 13, okay? I remember when we had baby babies, like some of y'all have. Our baby babies would not let, like when a kid would get like crazy upset, you know, sometimes they would let me quiet them, but when they got like upset, only one person could quiet them, Jenny, right? Like I'd be like, take this kid. I fed him, I changed their diaper, I bounced all over the house. And she'd be like, give me the baby, you know. Shh. 3 seconds later, they're asleep, you know. How'd you do that? I'm their mama, right? That's what the Lord does with us. He quiets us with his love. He's with us. He delights in us. He quiets us with his love. He rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices. This is how he loves you. You think that this God is far away? You think he's distant from you? He's not. He's not. In Christ Jesus, he's shown you. He loves you. He delights in you. He quiets us with his love. He rejoices over us with singing. Remember what Jesus last week, he leaves us with these promises. John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And it's not like the world's. No, he says, not as the world gives do I give it to you. So let not your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. He says in John 16, he says, I've said these things to you that you may have peace. And he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And here's what I hope we can remind each other of this Christmas, right? That's a sentence at the end. That's what I want to be reminded of, and I hope that you will be reminded of as well, that real soul-satisfying peace is only found in the virgin-born, perfect, self-sacrificed, resurrected Son of God, Jesus, who paid for our sins by his own blood, adopted us into his family, filled us with his Spirit, and has guaranteed our inheritance of eternal life. This Jesus is our peace. And so my invitation for you, okay, is this. Maybe you've never really put your hope and your trust in Christ. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you've been a good person. Maybe you've been moral. Maybe you thought Christmas was about the Hallmark stuff, right? And maybe you've missed Jesus completely. I tell you, if you want peace, it's found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And his invitation to you is to come to him. For any of us. Anyone that wants to come to Jesus can come to him. And the Bible tells us if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. You don't have to pray some special prayer standing on one foot or anything like that. You just believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, right? That's what he calls us to. Man, I can tell you there's not a more important thing that you could do this Christmas than put your faith in Jesus. And so if you ever want to talk to somebody about that, we'd love to talk to you about it. I'll talk to you, Tali, talk to anybody, I'll talk to you about it, all right? And for you that are following Jesus, here's my prayer for you, is that we would be reminded afresh this Advent that peace is not some thing out there that is absent from Christ, but you and I would be reminded that Jesus himself is our peace. And so we would love him more deeply and follow him more obediently as we want to be a people of peace and be peacemakers like him, right? One of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. When we are peacemakers, we're being like God is. And we would pursue those things together, I pray. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for the promises that have been made in Christ. And Lord, I know that we live in a world that is, peace is a wonderful idea and a fleeting thing. I pray that we would be faithful to be a people of the gospel that would remind our own hearts and one another that peace is found in a person. Not in a perfect set of circumstances. Peace is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So Lord, I pray that we would help each other believe that, and I pray we would help each other live in light of that together. In Christ's name. Yeah.